Today I want to share with you an idea. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which means that today is what's called Yom Kippur Katan. So I want to share with you some ideas relating to Yom Kippur Katan. Now I gave everyone a siddur. It's going to be found on page 386. I had notes, but I misplaced them, so I'm going to have to do my best to recall from memory what I wanted to say. But Yom Kippur Katan is a very interesting thing. Most of us do not say Yom Kippur Katan. What most will do is maybe we'll do Yom Kippur Katan on Rosh Chodesh Elul, but it's not something that's commonly done. Today, what?
Year? I think at Rabbi Landau's, they have at least 1 minyan.
There's 1 minyan.
1 o'clock.
There are here and there you can find a name for Yom Kippur Katan. Seder or Tfilas Yom Kippur. What is this all about? Okay, so we'll go through the basic structure. We'll go through page 386. And I have to tell you, honestly, until a couple of years ago, I never knew what it was. I never heard about it until, I don't know, maybe it was a little longer.
You need a minion if
you have a minion. You don't have to have a minion to say Yom Kippur Katan. If you want to also say Vayichal, then you want to say Aneinu, then you need a minion. Then you need a minion. But you don't necessarily. But you don't need a minion. To say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, you do need a minion. Now, what? Now, I have your kuntres. I picked this up a while ago. I never had an opportunity to really go through small countries called Seder Yom Kippur Katan. Mostly comes from Chaim Kenievsky, the person who asked from Chaim Kenievsky what do these things mean. And he put out, it's a pretty nice sefer.
Our school put a short version when they had a big demonstration years back in the streets. They had a demonstration.
Yeah. Water streets?
They put out the
four Yom Kippur Katan, but that was just a nusach. They have it in the actual sitter of the nusach. But what is the deeper? Now, first of all, someone told me a very beautiful simen. There are 4 months in the year that you don't say Yom Kippur Katan.
Yeah.
What's the simen? Chatas. Chatas means a sin offering.
That was the whole
purpose of Yom Kippur Katan, because there's
no carbon chatas anymore.
And
then Rosh Hashanah, the carbon,
you offer the carbon chatas. Right.
And so you diminish your blood
and
your fats from fasting, and it's as if it was a carbon chatas.
You offer the carbon chatas.
Yeah.
But what's so...
you say that in the
Vidu. But there are four months a year that you do not recite. Even if you were to do so, you would not recite Yom Kippur Katan. And the Rosh Tevas for the 4 months are Chatas. Chatas is Ches, Tes, Aleph, Tov. Ches is Cheshvan. Why is there no Yom Kippur Katan? It's part of Tishrei. The whole Chodesh Tishrei is a holy month. There is no Slichos. I mean, we say Slichos during the Aser Simei Tshuva. But after you come to, once you come to Sukkis, it's Yimei Simcha, and most of the month we have Sukkis, Chol HaMoed. There is the majority of the month is a month that you don't say Tachnun, referring to, so we don't say Tachnun for the remainder of the month. It's the month of Simcha. Yom Kippur Katan is always said the last day of the previous month. So in honor of Cheshvan, there is no, you're not going to find in any shul that's going to say the Yom Kippur Katan, come to shul at 1 o'clock, Erev Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. What's the next?
Tevis.
The next Tevis. Why? It's Chanukah. You are holding in the middle of Chanukah, so there's not going to be. What's the next? Aleph is Eor. Eor, Adar you say, why not? In the end of Shvat. You say Adar. Well, why Eor? Because Eor is, you are in the middle, Chodesh Nisan, the entire Chodesh Nisan is a amount of Simcha, and it's not as man to say Slichos, and Tov is Tishrei. Did you ever see someone say Yom Kippur Katan Erev Rosh Hashanah? Never. That's the most bizarre thing you've ever heard. To hear you say Yom Kippur Katan Erev Rosh Hashanah, saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim 7 times before you come into Rosh Hashanah. So there's a very interesting siman. It's a very interesting siman is that Yom Kippur Katan, which the whole purpose is to fast and to bring a carbon chatas, the siman to remember the 4 months that you do not say Yom Kippur Katan is Chatas, Cheshvan, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Teves, Iyar, and Tishrei. Okay, it's a very beautiful siman. It's not in the safe. I heard someone just told this to me yesterday. Okay, next idea. Why? Where does it come from? So the truth is that, and why is it called Yom Kippur Katan? What does Yom Kippur have to do with anything? And why is it called Katan? And how did it come about that every month the person says this Nusach HaTfilah? So the truth is, it's brought down in the Sefer. He has this in the Hagdamah. The name of the Sefer is an old called the Shar Yisachar. I'm not sure who this is. I think this is Munkach. I think the Shar Yisachar is affiliated with Munkach. And he says, what happened on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul? Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul is a very significant day. In a certain sense, even more significant than Yom Kippur. What happened Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul? It was the end of the second set of 40 days that Moshe went to Shemayim. How many days did Moshe go to Shemayim? 120 days. He went to Shemayim 40 days to receive the Torah. He went up on Zion Sivan. Moshe, we received the Torah when? On the sixth day of Sivan, not on Torah. What happened afterwards? Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, see you later, guys. I'm going to Shemayim. I'm not going to eat for 40 days, 40 nights, and wait for me. I'll be back in 40 days. Don't make any trouble. When did Moshe come down? Shiva Asa B'Tamus. And what does he find him doing on Shiva Asa B'Tamus? He comes down with the Luchos. The Luchos are Rishonis. And what does he come down? What does he find when he comes down? Egel. Gevalt. What in the world did you people do? I told you, don't make any trouble while I'm away. You worship the Egel. We have a lot of trouble. Moshe shatters the Luchos. And where does he go? He goes back upstairs. Back to Shemayim. What does he do for 40 days? For 40 days, he basically begs Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael for worshipping the Egel. Moshe comes down, he kills the Ezel Levim, Mila Hashem Elai. He goes back to 40 days, and he begs Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael. And after 40 days, what does Hashem say? Forgiven. What is 40 days after Shiva Asa B'Tamuz? Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. The day which Hashem forgave, there was to a certain degree the real kapara, the willingness for Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael, was Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Then what happened next? Moshe goes back to Shem for another 40 days to learn the Torah all over again and to prepare to receive the Luchos Shnios. Moshe comes down at the end of those 40 days with the Luchos Shnios, which is what day of the calendar? Yom Kippur. And that's why Yom Kippur is V'yom Hashem Solachti Chidvarecha. On Yom Kippur, Hashem said to Kakosh, I've forgiven you. The forgiveness really was already. The forgiveness really took place 40 days ago. But the Luchos Shnios, the new set of Luchos, the second set which Moshe brought down to Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, was a physical sign that Hashem forgave us, and the damage has been repaired because the Luchos have been replaced with Luchos Shnios. But the real forgiveness took place on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. So that day of the year is a Yom Nesugel, a day that in the calendar is a very great time to pray for forgiveness and do tshuva. And that, according to the Shar Yisachar, it used to be in ancient times that was the only time this day was commemorated as Yom Kippur Katan. Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul. Because that's really where it all comes from. The day when Hashem, Moshe came down from the second Lucha, came down when Hashem forgave him after going up for a second set of 40 days. What has happened over the generations? We liked it so much. It was such a good experience. And Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, why not do this all the time? We'll do this all the time. We'll do this every single Erev Rosh Chodesh. It became the custom, a minhag, to extend the minhag of Yom Kippur Katan from Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul to all of the Rosh Chodashim. That's why it's called Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur was the day when Hashem actually gave us the Luchos, which was Vayomer Hashem Solachti Chidvarecha. Here the Luchos Shnios. I'm forgiving you for the Chedo Egel. But a minor forgiveness, which really was, I don't even call it minor, you could call it major, but relative to Yom Kippur, 40 days before, on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, was also where Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the eagle, and Hashem said to Moshe, I'll give you a new set of luchos, come up, I'll forgive you, everything will be okay. That's where Moshe got the message. So that's why it makes perfectly logical sense why it's called Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur Katan, relative to the Yom Kippur Gadol of the 10th day of Tishrei. Now, indeed, many yeshivas, it's very common today, come on, in a very significant number of yeshivas, they do observe Yom Kippur Katan only once a year. On Elul, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, it's very common in almost all the major yeshivas that there is, this whole thing is done. But not the whole year. The whole year not, because this is the Iker. Well, Elul, it depends on America, and Eretz Yisrael, they are there. Eretz Yisrael, everywhere, it's a different system. But the whole year round, you don't find it being done. It is practiced at the time that is proper. And there's a very beautiful mashal Rav Chofetz Chaim gives in describing the significance of Yom Kippur Katan. And the mashal was told over to a bachar when the Chofetz Chaim was traveling. He was traveling somewhere, and it was Erev Rosh Chodesh, and he came to a shul, and Chofetz Chaim was nizer to say Yom Kippur, Tilos Yom Kippur Katan. He came to a shul, and he expected in this shul they would say the Nusach of Yom Kippur Katan. And he was waiting for Mincha, and he asked the Bachar, are you going to say it? He says, no, we don't say it here. We used to say it, but people already, we stopped saying it. So Chofetz Chaim was very upset. He said, let me give you a mashal. Why it's important in our generation to say it. Now, I'll just upgrade the mashal to the 21st century. If you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, you want to buy a ticket, El Al, how much does it cost? Over $1,000. Right? A regular ticket. But you know, if you really search high and low online, you can find the bargain, where if you'll take four or five connecting flights, you can go there for half the price. You'll fly from here, I don't know, one place, and you make it connected. Some people even fly to California. You have to go, you have to fly over the place. You can, five stops on the way, you can get your ticket for half the price. So what's the chilek between a gevir, an asher, and an ani? The asher can afford to buy a non-stop ticket. So you pay $1,000, you get a non-stop ticket to go from America to Eretz Yisrael. But a person who's having a hard time with panasa, he can't afford the $1,000, so he goes for the $500 ticket. It's a big hassle. You have to make five connecting flights, but at least you get there for half the price. Chofetz Chaim said, it used to be in the olden days, the Klal Yisrael, they were ashirim, not in money, but in ruchnias. They were wealthy. When they needed to do tshuva, it was enough to do tshuva to get you through the whole year once a year. Yom Kippur, you do tshuva, you mispal Yom Kippur, you do tshuva, chatos, yavisi, pashati, and that tshuva was a one-way ticket, got you a non-stop ticket, got you through the whole year. But in our generation, we're aniyim, we're spiritually poor. We can't afford a non-stop ticket from year to year. We need to stop along the way and do tshuva every single month, not to allow our sins to accumulate to the point where it's too burdensome at the end of the year. We are like aniyim. We need to have multiple stops along the year to remind ourselves that there's something called the Yom Kippur. And you see Yom Kippur, the highlight is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The end of the Yom Kippur Katan, you say Baruch Shem Kvod 3 times. You say Hashem Hu Elokim 7 times. You need to do this 3 times a year, a couple times a year, to remind yourself that you know Yom Kippur is coming. You have to tshuva. Don't let the sins accumulate. We're not. We no longer have the luxury of being ashirim and taking a one non-stop ticket to our destination. Okay, so these are a couple of ideas. Now, let's just take a look at the nusach very quickly. The nusach begins with, there's an inyan, of course, that you have to wear a talis. Because anytime you say slichos, we learn this from Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem, Moshe Hashem was nisatef in a talis. anytime you are mispal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for slicha, for forgiveness, it must be through the tzura of wearing a talis. Even though Nusach Sfar, and by some Ashkenazim as well, they do not wear a talis when they daven mincha on a regular day, but when you daven the Nusach, the Seid of Yom Kippur Kodim, there's a hakpada that the Shliach Tzibur should wear a talis, because that's the tzura of Moshe found Hashem when he went to Shemaim to ask for forgiveness for Klal Yisrael. Hashem was enveloped in the talis, and Hashem taught him, this is the way you daven. In fact, in many places when they daven Yom Kippur Katan, they wear tefillin. It's not, even though it's, today you go to a shul, you see someone wearing tefillin by mincha, it's very bizarre. What happened to this guy, this poor fellow? Why is he wearing tefillin by mincha? But it's not bizarre. It does not have that same stigma to see people wearing tefillin when you go to a Yom Kippur Katan minyan. Yom Kippur Katan minyan is a minyan where it's accepted. Where, if you're familiar with these type of minyanim, where people do wear tefillin, at least the shliach tzibur, in some places they wear tefillin. Okay, now this is very interesting nusach. Tefillah l'anikiyat. The tefillahs are very powerful tefillahs. They're very beautiful tefillahs. Okay, I just want to point out a couple of things. After you say this first tefillah, then you have I don't know if it's called a slicha, where we make mention of the first line of the second section. Again, it's on page 386. Yom zehi mishkal kol chatosai botel bimiuto kidmus yoreach. It's a lot of discussion of what this line, in the beginning of the second section, it sheds light on what this is all about. The moon, what happens on the last day of the month? Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh is the day when the moon is completely diminished. It completely disappears. That's not a good sign. That represents the golos. The Shechina is compared to the moon. The moon waxes and wanes. When the moon is bimiluo, when the moon is in, that represents geula, redemption. When we mekadesh the levana, what do we say? David melech Yisrael chai v'kayam. When we realize that the moon is getting larger and larger, the moon appears, the geula is coming. Geula. David hamelech, melech hamashiach, Mashiach ben David. David melech Yisrael chai v'kayam. That's really what we're doing by kiddush levana. Here, the moon disappears. There's nothing. All of a sudden, the moon appears. The moon appears and it's getting larger. I mean, when we are mekadesh to levana, that's this week's parsha. Hachodesh zelachem roish chadash. When mekadesh to levana, it represents kabbalas shechina. You're greeting the shechina. The shechina is compared to the moon, and geula is only complete with the malchus of David, Mashiach ben David. And when the moon is bishleimus, that is the peak of geul. That means that when the moon gets smaller and smaller and smaller, it represents golus. It means that we're not zocher to geula, we are heading in the direction of golus. When the moon is the smallest, the last day of the month, that is the most intense moment when we sense the golus. That's the darkest moment of Golus. And it's for that reason, some of the Mefarshim say that the primary focus of saying Yom Kippur Katan is, besides what we mentioned before about Yom Kippur, is to be mishtatef in the tsar Hashem has that we are in Golus. It's similar to Yom Kippur, to Tikkun Chatzos. Just like there are people that have a custom once in a while to get up at Chatzos, middle of the night, and to recite what's called Tikkun Chatzos. It's all about expressing your tsar, that we are currently in Golus. That is on another scale, another dimension, is what Yom Kippur Katan is all about. The moon represents Geula. The moon getting smaller represents Golus. When the moon gets to the smallest point, is the last day of the month. And so when the moon disappears, that is the most intense moment of Golus. It represents the intensity of Golus. And at this moment, we have no choice but to cry out to Hashem to redeem us, bring the geula and bring an end to the golus. That's the worst moment in time, and that's what it mentions over here in this first line. Yom zayimishkal kol chatosai botel bimiuto kidmus yoreach. Now he's using this idea, the idea I'm just drawing from is the Yireach gets smaller and smaller. The way the Python is using the concept of the Yireach getting smaller means that may my sins disappear just like the moon disappears. But this idea of the moon disappearing is essential, it's critical in understanding Yom Kippur. Most people, you ask them, what is Yom Kippur all about? They'll tell you, well, Rosh Chodesh is a holiday. So before holidays, you have to do tshuva. Pre-holiday. Right? Pre-holiday tshuva. You're coming to a holy moment in time, you have to go to mikvah. But come Shabbos, wow, Shabbos is a holy day. So before Shabbos, you go to mikvah, you matar yourself, you put on your big day Shabbos, you get ready. That's true. That there is something to that. It's a Yom Rosh Hashanah. Every Rosh Chodesh is a me'ein of Rosh Hashanah. Zman kaparo l'chol toldosam. The zman of kapara. So before we come to Rosh Chodesh, which is a day of kapara, we bring special karbonos on Rosh Chodesh, which brings kapara for Klal Yisrael. We do tshuva. That's also a reason why we have Yom Kippur Katan. But on a deeper level, Yom Kippur Katan is not so much as a preparation for the next day for Rosh Chodesh. The significance is the day itself. What's the significance of the day itself? Because the moon is at its lowest point. The moon is disappearing, and when the moon disappears, that's not a good thing. It doesn't represent good things, and therefore we have to tshuva on this day because of what's happening. Nothing to do with what's going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh. That's another approach to understand Yom Kippur Katan. Okay, now, Yom Kippur Katan is only done at Mincha. The focus is Mincha, and in fact, the Piyutim we're going to see in a few moments focus all about Mincha. Why Mincha? Chazal tell us that Mincha is the most auspicious time for Tefillah. A person should be Zoher. Eliyahu HaNavi was only answered at the time of Mincha. Eliyahu HaNavi represents Geula, and when he wanted to show the world the foolishness of the Oivdei HaBaal, and he was mispalled for Hashem to a miracle, the Sedan and Eshmin HaShemayim, he was answered at the time of Mincha. This Chazal learned Mincha is the most difficult time to daven, and it's the time when you get the most bang for your buck. And that's why the whole Nusach focuses on the inyan of Mincha, it's said at Mincha, and the Nusach is all about Mincha. Let's go now, after you...
Slichas also is a representation of Mincha, you start off with Ashrei.
Slichas is a tefillah by itself. Slichas is a tefillah in and of itself. Ashrei, Kaddish, Yud Gil Midus Harachmim, which is equivalent to Shemona Esrei, and then you say Tachnon, and Kaddish to Skaba. It's a separate tefillah, but Slichas is said in the morning. It's said before davening.
It's also a representation.
It's a tefillah. It represents. It's similar. It's patterned after mincha, but it's a tefillah to itself, which is said early in the morning. Yom Kippur Katan is said mincha time. It's a special tefillah for mincha. Okay, so after we say the second section, then you say mizmor ches. I'm not sure the significance of mizmor ches. How that ties into the big picture of things. It does mention the moon. There is a pasuk here in mizmor ches that does mention the moon, but there are many mizmorim which mention the moon. So whatever reason, we say mizmor ches. So you begin basically the Yom Kippur Katan with three sections. This beautiful tefillah.
The carbon, basically the carbon of Rosh Chodesh was
a kapara. Right, that's one of the similar approaches. Zman kapara l'chol told us something.
Maybe we get the Chodesh off.
Maybe we what?
We got the wrong day for the Chodesh. What's the
kapara? No, no one says that. That we made a mistake in the Chodesh. And if we
so maybe kapara, why only Rosh Chodesh do you make a carbon?
It's a gzeres hakasef. Rosh Chodesh, you bring the seirim, the musafim, which is mechaber al tumas midrash v'kodashav. Special kapara comes on, or the only place in the whole Nusach HaTefillah we use the word kapara is Rosh Chodesh and Yom Kippur. Zman kapara l'chol tolosan. So just like Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur. So Rosh Chodesh is also a Zman Kapara. In preparation for that, we have what's called Yom Kippur Katan. The only other time in the Nusach HaTefillah where we refer to Kapara is Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh we build up to it. That's a different approach to explain the significance of Yom Kippur Katan. But we begin, before you say Ashrei, there are three sections. The tefillah on is a beautiful tefillah. It's very powerful stuff. Then the second section, Yom Zeh Yimishkal Kol Chadasai Batal Biyutul Kedimus Yoreach, another tefillah, and then a mizmah from Tehillim of Lamatzech Al Hagidus. Then you daven, then you say Ashrei, and you say Chatzi Kadosh and Shmona Esrei. Afterwards, you daven regular Shmona Esrei. If people are fasting, which many times people do for Yom Kippur Katan, you have 10 people, then you learn Vayichal before you Daven Shemoneh Esrei, and you have Torah with Dirshu Hashem, and during Chazaras Hashatz and during Shemoneh Esrei, everyone says Aneinu, you Daven Shemoneh Esrei, Chazaras Hashatz, and you're finished. Now, what do you do after Chazaras Hashatz? You then begin the Slichos. The Slichos begin with this Tefillah. Many of these Tefillahs are unique. They don't appear anywhere else. You don't have this in Slichos Ram Yom Ram. This is not just this is not a carbon copy. We have that. It's not a cut and paste job. Yom Kippur Katan is not a cut and paste job. All the Tefillahs of Yom Kippur Katan are unique. That's very rare. Because a lot of different things that we do throughout special events during the year, we just cut and paste. I think one of the biggest, best examples is Birchas Hachama. Birchas Hachama, it's once in 28 years. There's no special nusach of Birchas Hachama. You make a bracha oisim aisim bereishis, and everything else that you do is cut and paste. You take a mizma from here, you take a mizma from here, you take this and that. These are all minhagim to embellish the ceremony of making the bracha oisim aisim bereishis, but you don't have any special nuschos, any special piyutim. When it comes to Yom Kippur Katan, everything here is unique. Now, I shouldn't say it's purely unique. I'll show you in a moment why. But let's first say this Pesukim L'chuv V'Noshuv L'Hashem Ki Toraf V'Yepo'enu. Then you say Slichos. Okay, Yud Gil Midas Rachamim. The whole purpose to do Tshuva Kel Melech Rachamim. Okay, that's cut and paste, but that's part. That's Yudgamul Rachamim. And then you begin special Slichos. Now the first Slicha is Mordechai, was composed by Mordechai by Shapsi Aruch. That was his name. This Slicha was originally composed to be said Mincha Yom Kippur. Okay, that in fact there are three Slichos. The first and the second was originally said. But one thing is for sure, it was written. The Nusach very clearly describes Yom Kippur Mincha. An hour in the schos, now machzor, we don't say this Yom Kippur Mincha. It doesn't appear there. Somehow it was extracted from Mincha Yom Kippur and was put as a permanent part of the Seder Yom Kippur Katan. And that's why each reframe, it's very interesting, if you go to whatever, you don't have to say very much. You have to listen. The Shliach Tzibur, he says, Masas Kapa, he reads the entire thing, and the Tzibur responds with a few words, Kasha Yaviyu V'nei Yishol Es HaMincha. And all of these different, I think there are 8 or 9 expressions. Kechadas kaila ucha mincha, mimashke yishol ka mincha. It's a beautiful expression describing different parts of the year, different themes. And we always conclude each section by mentioning a pasuk or a chazal that alludes to the significance, the chashivas of a gift, a mincha. Mincha mean tefilas mincha, or the mincha that's brought to accompany the korbanos. Okay, then after this slicha we say again Yigil Mitzarachimim, and then we go to the next slicha. The next slicha was written by Eliezer Rebbe Yitzchak Halevi, and again this slicha was composed for Yom Kippur Mincha, and again we say it today only on Yom Kippur Katan. Also the focus, the theme is the Mincha. If you notice, you jump down on page 389, just to give you an example where it's a Zecher. On the bottom of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom of the page, the line begins, Zecher par penim v'so'ir penimi v'chitzon. Obviously, we're discussing over here with the korbanos that are unique to Yom Kippur. Go through everything there is like that. Okay, then we go through, we say Slichos again, Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim, and then we come to the third and last Slicha, and this Slicha is a reference to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Because what happened on Yom Kippur? When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to ask Hashem to forgive us for the Cheder Egel, what did Moshe say? Zuchor LaAvraham LeYitzchak UliYaakov. His main weapon was Zuchus Avos. And that's exactly what we do here in the third Slich on page 390 on the bottom. First thing we mention, after we say Bas Ani Lo Secheshe, will not be quiet Lo Sishchad Bezaka, will not be quiet from crying out. And we're going to pray to you. And then we say Nisi Elokim Hanem, and a whole chapter, a whole paragraph devoted to who? To Avraham. Avraham is the Nesi Elokim. Next paragraph. Yichido l'meya nechenan v'okud b'mizbech avanav. This refers to who? Who was the one that was Nekat, put on the Akedah? Yitzchak. Then the third paragraph on the next page, page 391, Mifalel means to pray, the one that was Yoshev Oihel. Who was the one that was Yoshev Oihel? Yaakov. And then we go on, we mention the other things, just refer to the Korbanos, and other themes. But the primary reason why this slich has been selected is being that it is indeed Yom Kippur Katan. It alludes to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, Moshe said, Zuchar l'Avraham l'Yitzchak l'Yaakov. We must have a slich that refers to the Zuchus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Okay, then we say slichus a third time, and then we come to something very fascinating. We come to the 10 expressions of remembrance. We ask Hashem to remember us 10 times. Why 10 times? The Farshim say, Kenegad Yasser Sadibros, Kenegad Yasser Mamor Shnevro Oilam, 10 times. And what do we do 10 times? So we have the Ushpizin. Problem is, if you want Hashem to remember us 10 times, and you only have 7 Ushpizin, and Sukkah is still in 7 days. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. And now you're going to ask Hashem to remember us 10 times in the Zchus of the 7 Ushpizin, we're short 3. So in this, tefillah, we improvise. And we have more, it's fascinating insight, there's more than 7 Ushpizim. We have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Yosef, Moshe, Aaron. So far, so good, right? Just like Sukkis. But here we improvise Pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar, he becomes one of the Ushpizim. If Sukkis would have been 8 days, who would have been the next Ushpizim? Pinchas. Nashmini Yetzeres. And then David, because Pinchas came before David, obviously. And then who's going to be our ninth guest? Shlomo. You know, many of the Hasidic Shatara, they write that on Sukkis, they're really 8 Ushpizim. You have to have the guest for Shmini Yetzeres. Who is the Ushpizim of Shmini Yetzeres? Shlomo. So here we have Shlomo again, and then the 10th expression, we don't have anyone. There is no mention. We just general request Hashem should remember us. We ask Hashem to remember us 10 times in the Zechus of the 7 Ushpizin, plus the 2 additions, Pinchas and Shlomo. One very interesting thing about these couple of lines, we write Rachamon Hashem Itkarlon Kiyomei. May you remember us before you. We say that expression by most of them. But when we come to Yosef, we don't say Kiyomei before you, we say Itkarlon, remember us, Itkarlon Zuchusei, the Yosef Tzadikaya. Tzadika. In the Zuchus, remember the Zuchus of Yosef. We change the expression by Yosef. We don't just say remember the Zuchus. And we call Yosef, okay, and then also further when it comes to Pinchas, what do we say? We say, remember the Kinausei, the zealotry, the Kanos. Remember the Kanos of Pinchas. We don't say these verbs by anyone else. It's also fascinating how they're described. Avram is called the Rechima. He's called the compassionate one. Yitzchak, we call him the Akedah, the one that was bound on the Akedah. Yaakov is the complete one. Yaakov is Shalem. Yosef is the Tzaddik. Moshe, we call him the prophet. We don't call him Moshe Rabbeinu. We call him Moshe the Av HaNevi'im. We call Aaron the Kahana, the Kohen. Pinchas, we call the Kano. He gets double mention, the Kano, the Zealot. Pinchas the Kano, David is the Mashiach, and Shlomo is the king. So it's a fascinating expression of the way you line up all of these Ishaya Tanakh and how you contrast how we refer and we ask Hashem, we beg Hashem to remember us in the Eretz. And then we follow off on a high note. Okay, then there's another beautiful tefillah. And Elokeinu Gavaseinu Al Tasi Manu Kola, this is unique to Yom Kippur Katan. And then there is the Vidui of Rabbeinu Nisim. It's a beautiful Vidui. I think there are a lot of Sfarim there written on this to analyze this Vidui. It's inserted here into the Yom Kippur Katan. And then we say Slichus at the end. And then finally we climax at the Shema Yisrael, just like what we do on Yom Kippur. It's not so similar what we do here, because you're saying Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vod out loud. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to say that out loud. When we say Kriya Shema, we say it quietly. It's a nusach on Yom Kippur. We can do it because Yom Kippur we are in the category of Malachim. But what gives us the right to behave like Malachim Erev Rosh Chodesh? Yet it's done. It's accepted. There's a just to conclude, there is a tradition that Yom Kippur Katan has the koyach to be mevatel gezeros ros. And there's always been tradition in Klal Yisrael, and any Rachamon Litzlan, there are tough times, there are wars. The first thing that the Gedolei Yisrael will tell, will instruct their followers to do is to observe Yom Kippur Katan. There's a story with the Stipler. There's a famous letter from the Stipler. Baal Tshuva wrote to the Stipler on the Baal Tshuva. I've done terrible aveiros. I want to be chayzeh b'shuva. What should I do? And his advice basically was that you should observe for the foreseeable future. You should be nizer in Yom Kippur Katan. This is a famous letter from the Stipler. Rav Shach. There's a story from. That was the mice from Rav Shach. A Talmud wrote to Rav Shach, I did Averos, I wanted Tshuva, and this was his response. It was printed, published many places, this response from Rav Shach, the Minizr Yom Kippur Katan, and from the Stipler, people would come to the Stipler and would ask him, they have problems. He would tell them, not Rav Chaim Kanevsky, Rav Chaim is his father. He would tell them that you should be Nizr in Yom Kippur Katan. There was a Maisa, he writes, there was a family where everyone was dying young. And they went to the Stipler, and they said, "What should I do? What should we? I'm afraid. The terrible magefa." So he said, "Be nizun yom kippur katan." And the person, he lived like for 23 years, something like that. And at that point in time, he forgot it was Rosh Chodesh. He was benching. He was a very old man. He was benching. He was very weak, and he forgot to say Yalla v'yavo. And his wife was sitting with him, and she said to him. He never told his wife about this. I think for 23 years that he was the Nizr Yom Kippur Katan, and he was Rosh Chodesh, he was benching Yivgai Yal V'yavah, so his wife says, Yivgai Yal V'yavah. So he almost fainted. So his wife says, why'd you faint? Yivgai Yal V'yavah says, I didn't faint because of Yivgai Yal V'yavah. I fainted because if today is Rosh Chodesh, that means yesterday was Yom Kippur Katan, I forgot to say Tfilas Yom Kippur Katan. And indeed, he died that year. He died that month. He was very weak already at the end, but he attributed his Arichas Yomim because he took the advice of the Stipler, told him he should be Nizr in Yom Kippur Katan, and has a koyach to be Mavadal Gezeros Ros. So, although we don't do this, but the Mepharshim do tell us, they all write this, is that one thing that we should derive from Tfilas Yom Kippur Katan is at least an Erev Rosh Chodesh b'maharher in Tshuva. At least it's a time to reflect for a few moments, the very least. Today is Erev Rosh Chodesh. It's Yom Kippur Katan. I'm not going to say Yom Kippur Katan, but at least you should think that Yom Kippur is coming along. What's my tafkid on this world? And the person should be maharer in tshuva. Okay. I think Rabbi Kahn does it.